Today's share of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph in the second volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we remain in the middle of the long Siv Zayin in Simen Kuf Nun Gimel regarding the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses and what you're allowed to do in terms of selling or changing the ownership or purpose of a Beis HaKnesses. And we begin with the words of the Mechaber on the top line. V'hu adin l'chol divrei kedusha shenisgru kan. All of the halachas that we've been discussing in the last 2-3 days in terms of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, in terms of the Zayin Tuvia Ir, an individual with the permission of the Ir, or any situation where a shul is selling something to go to a high level of Kedusha, all of this applies, the Mechaber says, not only to a base Knesses, but he says, any other type of Kedusha, for example, you're selling the mantle or a Sefer Torah, or other things like that with a high level of Kedusha, the Kulu Griri Basa Beis Knesses, they all follow essentially the same rules as a shul. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat Lamek Zayin explains, Pirush, you go in the teva, the Aron Kodesh, umitpachas, the mantle on a Sefer Torah, uchadome, and his korban siv beis, or the other items that were mentioned in siv beis a few days ago. Dinam kimo beis haknesses atzmo linyan zeh. They have the same halachos as regards to the selling of a shul. The kol hechi deihu nasa adaita dekulei alma, for anything that was purchased and established on behalf of the entire Jewish community. Kegon the Krachim, for example, like we talked about the base Knesses of the Krachim of the large cities, Hanach Nami Nasu Mistoma Adaitad Kuliyama. These also were purchased Mistoma on behalf of the entire Jewish community, and you're not allowed to do with it other than what you're allowed to do with the Shul of the Krachim, as we've explained. Vizel Masha Kosav Mechaber, and that's what the Mechaber is telling us over here. The Kulu Griri Basu Beis HaKnesses, they all follow the same rules as the selling of the Beis HaKnesses. He adds, V'chein kol dover ha-shayach le-beis ha-knesses, and likewise, anything that's part of the beis ha-knesses, kegon chatzeros o mikveh, like the yards or the mikveh of the beis ha-knesses, arminan gam king ki ha-gabna, the same laws apply to those as well. Lomotzi lemach, when you're not allowed to sell them, o le-sogron, or to close them up, lemnoa mihen orchem, to prevent guests from coming in to use them. However, mikol mokum lochomer beis ha-knesses, but it doesn't have even stricter rules than the beis ha-knesses, it has the same rules as the beis ha-knesses. Likewise, v'chei mashin iskar b'siv zeh d'shiva tuvia ir b'maimar ansha ir b'kfarim yecholum lotzi hadamim l'chulin. That which we learned in previous shiurim on this siv, where we said that if it's done by the executive committee, the board of trustees, the Zayin Tov Ya'ir, and they do this with the permission of the Anshei Ya'ir in a kvar, they're allowed to sell it and then take those monies and use them for chulin purposes. Also, lav davka beveis haknesses, that doesn't only apply to a beis haknesses, el afilu betashmishe kedusha din kein, likewise the din applies as well to tashmishe kedusha, things that are servicing something that's holy. However, there's one difference. Ach mikol mokum yeshliluk binayu. There's one difference between a shul and this tashmishe kedusha. And what is that? The patashmishe kedusha, where the items that are serving the kedusha, af the mutul lishtamish bidmeim, even though you're allowed to use their funds that you sell them for, kishinim ka b'shiva tuvi yir b'may b'an shiyah b'kfarim, even though you have for the funds that are able to be sold over here, these items can be sold for money, mikol mokum. Nevertheless, him gufa b'kedusha sayu, kai may be out of lokeach. The one who purchases them, those items still have their kedusha attached to them because they were tashmishe kedusha. So the money may not have kedusha, but those items retain their kedusha. The kedusha saguf ninu v'en yose l'chulim. The kedusha of the item itself never gets released, and that stays in its holy state, even though the money may actually be redeemed. However, the shul itself, or an item that's a tashmishe mitzvah, we discussed this, for example, the difference between tefillin and tzitzis. So one is an item of tashmishe kedusha, the tefillin themselves, and whereas the tzitzis are tashmishe mitzvah, they're servicing to do the mitzvah. So there is a difference in the levels, as we've already learned, lakama, and we will learn again in sif tes. The Mishnah Berurah also points out that we'll learn this in Sif Yod, and he says we'll also learn this in Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Gimel, and in the Mishnah and the Bir Halach over there. Dear Shufut 51 and 52, tell us what we'll learn over there. And in Dear Shufut number 51, it brings down from the Bir Halacha that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra holds, the Das, the Rambam, according to the Rambam, Afilu es Hamo Shekiblu Avur HaTashmishi Kedusha also Lotzila Dover Chol. He says that the money over here that you got has the same status as the item of Kedusha itself, not like we learned over here. And this applies even if it was sold with the Zayin Tuv Ya'ir, B'may B'nan She'ir. However, he says, a shul, which is tashmishe mitzvah, that doesn't apply, and you're allowed to use the money for chulin purposes. He does bring down that the Prima Godim seems to disagree with this. He has a different way to understand the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to follow the simple understanding of the Prima Godim. The issue footnote number 52 brings down that the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha state that there's a machlokas rishonim. Im yesh ofan lav kia kedusha's tashmishe kedusha. Is there a way to go and remove the kedusha from a tashmishe kedusha? And he brings down lahaloch from the Bir Halach over there. He says, Kosher lahaki wadavir. It's difficult to be lenient in this situation because Rov HaRishonim Achmirim, most Rishonim Amachmir, they say that the Kedusha of Tashmisha Kedusha cannot be removed. She Efshal Orida Mikdushasim. You can't go remove the Kedusha under any circumstance. And this is, in fact, the opinion of the Vilna Gaon as well. Now we go back to the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Lamed Ches, and he writes that all of these other items, the mantle, the Aron Kodesh, etc., all follow the same halachic rulings as we just said for the Beis HaKnesses. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Kol Klei Beis HaKnesses, all the utensils that are found in the Beis HaKnesses, the Safsolim, and the benches, the Arios, and the curtains, should be Beis HaKnesses, Dinam Ke Beis HaKnesses. They also have the same halachic status as the Beis HaKnesses in terms of selling them. V'alkein, therefore, kishemachu shivatu ve'ir b'may b'nan she'ir b'kfarim, if it's a shul of a small community, the kfarim shul, and it was sold by the executive committee, the shivatu ve'ir, with the understanding b'may b'nan she'ir, yecholim nishtamish v'mosul chomashir, so then you can take those funds and do with it whatever the community wants to do with them, even for secular purposes. But if not, v'ilav hachi, lo, then you're not allowed to. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, this is Lefi Pashtus, Divri Hamogin Avram, She'etik Divri Aran, B'shem HaYerushalmi, Adivri Shulchan Aruch. This is what we already learned previously. He brings down from the Sefer Kovetz on the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillah, Kos of Denira Lo, Da'afilu B'krachim Yicholim L'machim the Divri Aran. He says that this only doesn't only apply to the shuls of the Kfarim of the small cities, but even applies to the shuls of the big cities, the Krachim, which are made for Jews all over the world. Because he says, D'davko linyan mechiris beis ha-knesses, gufa, amrina de lo mochli rabin cholkom, l'shiva tovi yair. He says, because the shul itself was the only thing that was really for the people of the entire world, and the people of the entire world didn't subordinate themselves to the Zion tovi yair of that town. But as opposed to the utensils inside the shul, the benches, etc., they did. And therefore, the gabayim over here of the shul are allowed to go sell that with the permission of the city. They don't need to get the permission of all the Jews of the world, and they can take those funds and use them for other purposes, even chulin purposes. The issue footnote number 53 brings down, Le'inyan l'kichas sasoli beis haknesses l'shimush prati. Are you ever allowed to borrow the benches from the shul and use them for a secular purpose, or a simcha purpose, lav davka, a full mitzvah, for a simcha for a family, a bar mitzvah, something like that, for the seuda? So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, mutul asus kein, you have permission to do this. And he says, v'choshev adover kilu histu mitchilu l'kachtom. And there's a presumption that when the shul was originally purchasing those benches, they would be used for such secular type of purposes or non-pure mitzvah purposes. Kivin shekachu aminug, this is the minug that people have. However, he does bring down from the Sefer Ginzi HaKodesh, in the name of Reb Nissen Karolitz, Sha'afel Pisha B'Saf Solim Pshutim, by a regular plain chair, for example, that's a folding chair. Minog Olam L'Kachtim L'Smachos. People take them and borrow them for Smachos or for gatherings. And therefore, Yochol Liyo Shechoshev Adar Kilu Hisnu Alei Mitchila. That could be understood that presumptively they were used for that purposes. When they were purchased, they could be used for secular type purposes. However, the heavy benches that are used in the shul that are sort of locked into the shul and aren't so easily removable, he says, maybe that doesn't apply over here as well. And you shouldn't take those such benches unless there was a specific tnai made originally when they were purchased. He therefore suggests that one should always make a tnai when they donate something to the shul, that it should be able to be used for other purposes as well to get around any sort of a problem over here. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah says, Hagah, Yachid Shebonim Beis HaKnesses Unisona Lekol, if a private individual built a shul and then he gave it over to the community, Dino Ke Beis HaKnesses Shokol. It now has all of the halachic status that we've been discussing for the last few days in terms of its sale, etc., as if it was originally built by the community itself. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Lamed Tes explains, Dinim Keres Alpim Levad, and that individual who donated it no longer has any say in the matter, and it's up to the Zayin Tuvi Yair to now make any decisions about it. The Lo Bo'inon Das Hanosin was a klal, and the original donor has no say in it whatsoever. The issue footnote number 55 brings down, what happens if somebody allowed his house to be used as a gathering place to daven? So the Shelus Chuvus Noda Behuda brings down, that's considered a temporary residence, and it doesn't have the status of being a shul. Because at any point in time, he can say, no longer do I want this to happen, and therefore it doesn't have the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses or any of the rules that we just said. However, he does bring down, if they didn't make a specific donation of this to the community, but they put up all sorts of things that are appropriate and consistent with it being a shul, especially if they put up shemos that cannot be taken down or erased, and they wrote them on the walls and things like that, and it's really functioning as a community shul, then he says, Mukach shehikdish oso liyolim. That's as if he sanctified it and gave it to the community forever, and he can't go and take that back. However, the Ramah continues, if he didn't fully give it over, this individual who gave over his private shtibel, his private shul to the community, avolim shirli atzmo boshum koach, if he retained some sort of a residual right in it, then ein lo mecher ki im al if he gets left some sort of a right to it, so then both of them, both the community and he, or his yorshim, his heirs, if he dies, have to both agree to do something with the shul, but neither party can do it alone on their own say-so. The Rambam continues and he writes, the Chol Zeh, all of these halachas that we've learned, lo mayri eloki yesh lehem beis ha-knesses acheres, all of these that you're allowed to sell the shul, you can do it with Zayin Tuva Yair, etc., all of the rules that we've been learning are applicable only when there is another shul over there for everybody to daven in, as we've said previously, that everybody can fit into from this shul as well. Avolim ein lehem rak beis ha-knesses acheres. But if this is the only shul in town, then all of the rules that we said about not being able to sell a shul or to destroy a shul until the new one is built apply here as well. Also lemachru, you would not be allowed to sell it. Dehafilu l'sas, or also actually yivnu acheres. Because to destroy a shul, you're not allowed to do that until you go build a new one. You must have the new one in place. We're concerned about pshia, as we talked about. You'll be negligent in building the new one if the old one is already destroyed, and then they'll have no place to daven. So you have to absolutely have the new one in place before you can go and destroy this old shul. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Mem Aleph reminds us, Hamogin Avram Pirish Dirot Salomar. The Morgan Avram previously explained, and this is what he's telling us over here that the Ramah is telling us, Kishibanu Akshav Acheres. We're talking here about now you've built another one. Avol ki yesh lahem shnei bote kineyesius mikodem, but if there were two shuls already in place, also lim kor echod, you're not allowed, according to the Morgan Avram, to sell either one. It's only over here if you just built this new one now to replace the old one. But if you just have two shuls, you're not allowed to go and destroy them. Avol ha-taz b'reish simen kuf nun beis. However, the Taz disagreed with that. He said, mutra afilu bofen zeh, that you would be allowed to in this situation where we have two shuls. And Dishu footnote number 57 reminds us that the Bir HaLoch over there said, mipashtus losun ha-ramah mashma kataz, that the simple reading of the Ramah is like the Taz. And he concluded over there, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir HaLoch, she'en lahachmir ki morgan avrom, that we're not machmir like the morgan avrom. So you have two shuls, it's not a problem. And he says, this is also the opinion, kendasa el yarabah, shom kavase, who holds like the Taz, and also v'chei mashma bir agro, the Vilna Gaon holds like this as well. As I already mentioned, and as we've learned previously, this is only true if the other shul that's there is capable of holding all of the people. Then you can destroy this shul. Because otherwise, then you're not allowed to destroy your shul until you have the new one ready to move into. So if there's no room for everybody, it's as if there is no other shul. But he points out a cool over here, that even if it's a big shul, a big community shul, the krachim type of shul, we normally allow to destroy it at all because you need to get permission from the entire world. He said if you're replacing this shul with a bigger shul, and once you build a bigger shul, you can then destroy the older shul. The vadai kuliyama nichalub is there, because every Jew in the world is happier that now there's a bigger, better shul in that place rather than the older, smaller shul. And we've already learned this in Simen Kufnun Beis. The issue footnote number 58 brings down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. Since this new shul was built on the condition or the understanding that the old shul would be destroyed to help pay for it or to use the actual bricks to modify it and add to it, ancient Issel is also. There certainly is no Issel to destroy the old shul if the new shul was already built. Because it's as if the Kedusha that was in the old building has now been transferred to the new building. The Mishnah Halachos from Rav Menashe Klein Zatzal, the Ungva Rebbe, he states that if the other shul had a different nusach, though, and the people from one shul wouldn't feel comfortable davening in the other shul, then even if the shul is big enough, that doesn't count. And he says also, if it's far enough away, maybe in the same town, but it's far enough away that people can't get there, so again, even if it's big enough, you wouldn't be allowed to sell the first shul or get rid of the first shul because you don't really have a second shul that's available. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, V'chein eitzim v'yavonim merishona, for the bricks and the wood from the first building. Mutu l'shtamish ben, you're allowed to use them, ulotzi l'chulin, or to even use them for secular purposes, apishiv atuv yair b'may b'ran shi'ir, as long as that's what the executive committee said with the understanding of the community. The mayich patlu l'vnei alma b'zeh, because why would the people of the world care? They have a new shul. Kivin she'esh lam mokum tov l'spala, they have a brand new building to take, to use if they come into town to visit. So why would they care if the old building is totally destroyed and what they do with the bricks and the stones and the wood from that building is not to their interest at all. So they would be allowed to, Zayin Tuvia would be allowed to sell that and use those funds for whatever purposes they felt necessary. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Mem Beis writes that if you only have one shul, as we already pointed out, you're not allowed to tear it down until the new shul is built. And he says this is true. Afilu b'shiva tuv yair b'maimen anshayir. This is even if everybody agrees to do this, the entire board as well as the agreement of the city, you're not allowed to do this. Afilu kishemokum zekidei liknos acheres. And even if again they're doing it for the purpose, they're selling the old shul in order to buy a new shul. We've already said that that's no good. Dumya d'stira. This is similar to destroying the old shul. The osra afilu b'ofenzat. You're not allowed to do this, as we've already learned in Siman Kuf Nun Bay. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Mem Gimel writes that which we said you're not allowed to sell the old shul until the new shul is built. He says, "In lo sheyirtzu liknos bedam macheres begavin deleka lemechas b'shiusa." You are allowed to sell the old building if the new building is already put up and made. You just have to purchase it. Kigon shemizumin beis haknesses lekach. There's a building that you can acquire and purchase. You just don't have the money until you sell the old building. And deino chaser el nesilas hamor. So once you sell the new building, immediately you transfer over the old building. You immediately transfer over those funds to buy the new building, that would be permissible. As we've already said, this would be permissible to do via the Board of Trustees with the understanding of the community. As the Sharet Zion says in Sivkot Mem Dalet, otherwise you would not be allowed to sell this building, as we've already explained previously. That concludes today's share.